Isaiah chapter 7, and I'll read from verse 17. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you, and your people, and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly, that is in the farthest part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee, that is in the land of Assyria. They will come, and all of them will rest in the desolate valleys and in the clefts of the rock, and on all thorns and in all pastures. In the same day the Lord will shave with a hired razor with those from beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs, and will also remove the beard. Amen. Okay, now let's remind ourselves of the context. God is speaking through Isaiah to a king called Ahaz. And Ahaz, we may have a little sympathy for. There are a couple of kings kind of mowing their tractors on his lawns. And Isaiah assures Ahaz that this alliance which has been formed against him will not succeed. However, we know from elsewhere in the Bible that Ahaz was not a good king. He is a faithless king. And we've had some evidence of it already. God offers him a sign, and Ahaz pretends to be too humble to accept. So the Lord, through Isaiah, offers him rebuke. And wonderfully, what we looked at last week is the promise of the Messiah. The sign that you refused will be a wonderful sign. Emmanuel himself will come to dwell among you, but it will be many years after you have died. You will not see the wonderful sign which I am going to bring. And then we come to verse 17. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you, and your people, and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. Now, if we continue with that Sunday morning series on the life of Solomon, what happens after the time of Solomon is that there is a division of Israel. Judah remains loyal to the house of David, but the northern tribes break away. And so you've got what you call the divided kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And Ephraim here, of course, one of the sons of Joseph, is often used as a name for the whole of Israel, especially in the context of the divided kingdom. And just as that rent the kingdom apart, Isaiah is saying here, when the king of Assyria comes, it will be as disruptive in the day I am prophesying as it was in that day when Judah and Israel separated. And of course, both nations became weaker as a result. And it was, of course, a result of God's judgment. So the king of Assyria is coming, and it will rock the land, just as once before it was rocked by a division. Then we get this rather wonderful picture. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly, that is in the farthest part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee, that is in the land of Assyria. Flies and bees. Now I'm sure we understand that bees are rather useful. You don't want them to get too close to us, of course, but they're quite good while they're busy pollinating flowers and so on. Flies, we may reserve judgment perhaps as to their utility, but God made them. But here we have God summoning flies and bees to the land of Judah. Now, flies, in one respect, are a picture of Egypt, and it's absolutely clear that flies will be summoned from the rivers of Egypt. And Egypt, being a hot and sticky land, was sometimes characterized by its flies. Assyria, on the other hand, was well known for beekeeping. But whether it be a fly from Egypt, or a bee from Assyria, God is whistling for them. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's remember that God is pronouncing judgment upon Judah. And God is going to summon the Egyptians, and especially the Assyrians, to judge Judah. And there were, of course, conflict between those two nations. But Assyria, in fact, would actually devastate and carry off the northern kingdom, Israel, which is currently attacking Ahaz's land. And at the time of Hezekiah, they would lay siege to Jerusalem itself and weaken the land of Judah. But God, in fact, determined that the Assyrians would not conquer Judah. That privilege would be given to the Babylonians, a relation of the Assyrians and to their south. And we have a picture, I think. Flies are annoying, and quite possibly carry disease. Bees are less annoying, but again, they do have a sting. You don't want them to get too close. But there are so many of these bees going to descend on Judah. So many of the flies of Egypt coming to descend on Judah, that they will come and all of them will rest in the desolate valleys and in the clefts of the rock, and on the thorns, and on the pastures. Not a part of Judah will be exempted from the arrival of the Assyrian bees and the Egyptian flies. In other words, these two great powerful nations, their armies are going to attack Judah, even in the event of attacking each other. The Assyrians in particular. And the wastelands, where thorns grow, and the pastures, they will all be affected. The desolate valleys and even the gaps in the rock will all be affected. There will not be a part of Judah unaffected by this invasion. Now, why doesn't the Lord say, but don't worry, because I'll make sure they don't win? Because he has determined that in one respect, they shall win. God raised up Assyria, particularly he raised up Babylon, and the king in particular, Nebuchadnezzar, was God's agent for humbling Judah. And indeed, they were carried away into captivity by the rivers of Babylon. We sat down and wept, yea, we remembered Zion, and they hung their harps upon the willow trees. And what actually happened, and I put it to you that here the temporal judgment of God, so I'm not talking about heaven and hell, I'm talking about the temporal judgment of God upon nations, especially his own people here, is to refine them and purify them, as well as to give glory to his righteous name. Now, when the Jews were carried off to Babylon, they came back a different people. Now, of course, they weren't without sin. And at the time of Jesus, they were a stiff-necked people. But never again did they succumb to idolatry. Now, in one respect, being too proud to recognize the Messiah and bowing the knee to an idol, in one respect, there's not really much difference between them. The end result is the same. But the Lord is promising to judge Judah. The judgment is not now. Pekah and the Syrians, who are currently attacking the land, they are not God's judgment. From them, God has determined that Ahaz will be delivered. But the time is coming when judgment will come, and it really will devastate the land. And it did happen. And we have another strange picture in verse 20, with which I shall conclude. In the same day, in other words, the day that the Assyrians in particular come, the Lord will shave with a hired razor. That hired razor is the king of Assyria. With those from beyond the river, that is either the Euphrates or the Tigris, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs, and will also remove the beard. In fact, the king of Assyria will also be judged. So God will judge Israel through the king of Assyria. He will judge Judah with the king of Assyria. But the king of Assyria will also be judged himself by the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon is going to be judged by God by the king of Persia. Is it all complicated? Quite confusing, isn't it? But do you think there's a picture here? God judges iniquity. And sometimes he judges iniquity by raising up the wicked to do it. Because our God is a sovereign God who can use evil for his own purposes. He does not approve of it, but sometimes he does sanction it. Again, look at Satan in the book of Job. What does Satan do to Job without God's prior permission? Answer, nothing. Now, Satan does not care about your welfare. Satan does not want your faith to blossom. Satan does not want our church to flourish. And he will do what he can to hamper and diminish, to belittle. But our sovereign God is even able to use him for his glory and our good. And here we have the picture of one humiliated, but God is in control. Now, in one respect, it's quite a depressing message tonight. Last week it was all about Jesus coming. We liked that. Chapter 6, God is seen in heaven by Isaiah. That was pretty good as well. What about this week? Judgment is coming. Who's going to, you know, say amen to that? It's not a pleasant message. But there are two things we can get from it. Number one, it reminds us of the righteousness of God. The purity of God. He will not even tolerate wickedness in his own people. Number two, it bespeaks the sovereignty of God. Yep, the king of Assyria and the king of Babylon are going to humble Judah, though those kings will also be humbled. None of it takes God by surprise. In fact, he has ordained it. And the third point is the reason for his ordaining that suffering is that he knows good will come of it. And Judah, after the Babylonian exile, no longer does it have kings who go up into the high places and sacrifice to Molech. There are no Solomons who do that. In one respect, Judah was never for very long a free country again. There was a period called the Hasmonean period when it was free. But it wasn't a particularly good time. In other words, as an independent flourishing nation, you're not going to see those days again. But remember, what has Isaiah just said? The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Israel is no longer going to be defined by being a free and prosperous country with kings like David and Solomon. It will be defined and beautified by the coming Messiah. He is the one for whom they should hope and for whose coming they should anticipate.